How you guys doing this morning? All right. Good. When I was a sophomore in high school, I just got my license, and I remember my dad came home from work one day, and he's like, "Hey, I got good news." And I'm like, "Oh, man, he's getting me a car. Like, what's this about? This is about to be sweet." And he was like, "I got you a job." And I was like, Oh, that's risky. What's that look like? And I'm like, you know, I remember being a little worried. Like, what do you mean you got me a job? What kind of job? What am I going to be doing for this job? And he was like, "Actually, I got you a job at the church." And I remember being like, "Whoo, church job! All right, I'm all about that. They only work like half a day a week anyway, and so I could do a half a day. You know what I mean?" And I was like, "So what am I going to be doing at the church?" And he was like, "Well, you are going to be cleaning toilets, okay?" And so that's what I did for 4 years. Wasn't the most glamorous job I've ever had, all right? But it was a needed thing. And basically, I spent 4 years changing light bulbs, cleaning toilets, and doing all the jobs that nobody else at the church wanted to do. I remember one of the worst times was we had just put this like little playground in behind. This is at our Fremont campus, behind the church building. Outside, and you know the little rubber pellets? It's actually like pieces of tire. I don't know what it is. Maybe not. I don't know what it is. It's like little rubber pellets that you put around the playground and stuff like that. So when kids fall, they don't die, I think. I don't know. We had that come in on a truck, and they came in 6 bins, and each bin had 2 tons of pellets in it. And I remember they were just like, "Hey, yep. This is one of the jobs nobody wants to do. Unload these bins, all right, and shovel out all these pellets." And before, yeah, I know there's some man out there who's like, "Well, I shoveled tons of, that's 12 tons, by the way. I've shoveled 12 tons of this and that." Okay, I get it. All right, rubber pellets are just different, okay? You can't get a shovel into a pile of rubber pellets. It doesn't work. And so I remember that. It was just like, you know, painstakingly moving, you know, and pushing like rubber pellets everywhere, and they're still there to this day. So if you're ever over there and your kid falls, you're welcome. Okay. But then after high school and after I graduated, I kept that job. That was a good job that I could do kind of on the side because I could kind of make my own schedule. And I went out and got a second job. And my second job that I ever had was mowing lawns. Any of you guys ever do that? All right, like a lawnmower. It's a great young man's job. And so I worked for this guy in this company. And I for the most part I love that job. There's kind of no worries, especially now that I look back. I'm like, man, I didn't have any stress. There was no worries. I'm just out there mowing in the sun. Like, what's not to like about that? Okay. And what I did was I had to go and I mowed repossessed homes, okay, in Toledo. So it was repo homes in Toledo, and most of the time I really enjoyed and I liked the job, but sometimes I would come home and it would just be a bad day. Right, we've all experienced that, a bad day at work. It just kind of happens. Sometimes you don't know it's going to happen. Like for me, the 2 weeks, I think it's at the beginning of June when all the mayflies come out, okay? All right, we don't have to worry about that here in Tiffin, but you know how it is up near the lake where they just cover everything and they stick to you and you can't get them off of you? All right, as I'm, you know, riding the mower through that and, you know, you got them in your mouth and they're all over the place, all right? Those weren't my favorite days, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes, I don't know why this is almost every time, but in Toledo, when you're like in the city and you go to a house that hasn't been like messed with because the bank has just repossessed it and usually it's not in the nicest places of the city, a lot of times you go and it's weird because the neighbors, they all come out on their porches and like watch you, okay? And so you're there, you're like getting everything ready, and so they're the ones that are watching you like get chased down by a pit bull. That happened once, or sometimes you're like riding a mower through tall grass so you can't see everything, and then you like suck up some sweatpants or something like that. You're like, "Oh, come on," you know? And they're watching you deal with all that stuff. But that's just how it is. I remember my first day at that job. I was with the owner, and we went up and we mowed this house that they had just kicked the tenant, or not tenant. They just kicked the guy. It was a single guy. They just kicked him out, and the bank had somebody go in, and they moved all of his stuff basically to the front yard because he wouldn't leave. And so I remember I'm like weed whacking around his like pillows and stuff. And what's crazy about it? Not only did they move all of this guy's stuff was out there, but the guy didn't leave. Like, he was taking a stand. Okay, like, "I'm not leaving this place." And so he's like laying on his couch and sitting there, and I'm like please move your, can you lift up your legs? Okay, thank you. You know, I'm like weed whacking around all of his furniture and stuff. It's just, you know, it's just one of those things where sometimes you have those days. You know what I mean? At work, some of you, let's be honest, right? Someday you have a bad day every day at work. Like, that's just how work is. In fact, you're sitting here right now, you're like, oh, I don't want to talk about work. All right, it's the weekend. All right, that's the last thing I want to talk about is work, because you dread going to work. And then others of you, you're probably sitting here and you're older, way more mature than I am, and I understand that. And you're like, what's this dude know about work? I've been, you know, what's this man? No, you probably say boy, I don't know. All right, you wouldn't say dude though, okay, most of you. But you'd be like, what's this guy know about work? All right, I've been working decades longer than he's even been alive. And that's probably true for some of you. I don't know what it's like to do what you do. And I don't know what it's like to work where you work, but I do know what God says about work, and what God says about work actually works. And so think about it. Let's evaluate ourselves as we get into it this morning, all right, as we talk about work for the next few weeks. Don't answer out loud or anything, all right, but how is work going for you? Like, how is your job going? Like, what comes to mind when you think of the word Monday? You know, is that a good word for you? Or is that like, ugh? You know, you're sitting here, you're like, man, this is great. I got my dream job. I love Mondays. I get to go in there and I get to start on the stuff that I didn't get to finish last week or whatever it might be. Or for you, is it more just like dread? You're like, ugh, tomorrow's Monday again. Oh man, like, this, where's this weekend gone? I can't believe it's already Sunday. You know, it's that type of thing. See, most of us, or most people statistically, right? Most people dread their jobs. In fact, let's try to put yourself on the scale, right? When it comes to your job, right, for those of you who have jobs, right, where are you? Are you more towards the dream end, or are you more towards the dread end? All right, you're more towards the dream, where it's like, man, you love every second, and you're the person that like whistles as you skip into work, right? By the way, the rest of us hate you, okay? Or are you the guy who you just dread? Like, you have to drag yourself out of bed. You have to have coffee, because if you don't have coffee, you're not getting your work done. And you're just like, man, you just dread going back to that place with those people to do that thing that you hate. See, unfortunately, most people, again, statistically, most people dread their jobs. And if that's you, I'm just pointing this out. You spend a lot of time doing the thing in life that you dread. In fact, let's do this together. Let's look at the average week. The average week, let's say this. Let's say one of these blocks equal a 8-hour block of time, okay? And let's look at the full week, all right? We'll start right at the beginning. Usually, doctors, I don't know. I'm not a medical professional, but I think usually doctors say that we need at least 8 hours of sleep a day. We've heard that before, kind of the 8-hour rule. I think that's healthy. I think that's good, not only for us physically, but also mentally, for sure. How many I got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So 7 days a week, we spend we should be spending around 8 hours, right, just sleeping. So let's get that off the table. Okay, so we have that, and then most of us in this room, we have a full-time job, okay? Or let's pretend that we do, and most of us in this room, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we work 5 days a week, at least around 8 hours a day. So that's a 40-hour, that's a 40-hour a week job. But let's be honest, right? Usually in our jobs require more than that. Okay, first of all, a lot of us, we work a lot more than 40 hours a week with our jobs, whatever that might be, and that's fine just right off the bat. But some of us, even if we're working the 40 hours, like we're on the clock, we also have those meetings, we have those calls, we have those emails that we're answering. Sometimes we're doing some of that from home. We have the drive time each day to work. And then sometimes we go early, and sometimes we have to stay late. And so really, statistically, that averages out to about 56 hours a week that we spend doing our job, whatever our job, if we're working full time, might be. Which means we have, that's two-thirds of our week is sleeping and working at our job, which means, let's say this category is just kind of everything else, okay? And so we have about 56 hours to do everything else that we do in life. Now, there's a lot of stuff that goes into this everything else category, all right? This is, this is our family time. It's stuff that we're doing at home. It's Netflix and TV. It's going out to eat. It's hanging out with our friends. It's hobbies. It's scrolling your phone, all right, some of you. It's going to church, what we're doing right now. We're in the everything else category right now as we speak, except for me. I'm in the work category, all right? Just throwing that out there, all right? And let's be honest, all right, this also includes a bunch of other work that has nothing to do with our jobs, right? Like, we all understand that there's, like, housework to do, right? Two people, okay, all right. We have housework. We got to mow the lawn, all right, which grass just started growing. We got projects going on in our house. We got to do laundry and dishes, and we got to clean our house. We got to do all these things. And so let's be honest, when it comes to not just our job, but actually work during the week, right, for a lot of us, it's a lot more than just our 56 hours of our job, right? There's throughout the week is probably something more like this, because we have all the other stuff to do that just goes with having a family and having a house and stuff like that. And so what's interesting about this is that usually this category, when it comes to our work and our jobs, we view this as a waste. Like, oh, I'm only doing that, right, because I have to. And we view sleeping as a waste. So really, where we find our purpose and our meaning in our life is right here in the everything else category. This, for a lot of us, this is what defines us, and that's how we choose it. And I'm just saying, like we kind of view work as a waste, but at the very minimum, this work and our jobs, this is a 1/3 of our entire life. Like, isn't 1/3 too much to waste? Like, I'm not okay with that. See, on average, we spend 100,000 hours, right, at our job throughout our life, okay? Some of you guys is really going to bum you out, all right? Just think about that. But 100,000 hours, and I'm just saying, what if we could wake up in the morning and we could be excited to go to work, right? What if we could do that? All right, even if we aren't even working our dream job, what if, all right, we can wake up in the morning and we can think, man, I don't love what I do, but I am excited to get to work. And that's where I want to be at the end of the series in a few weeks. Right, that's where I think God has called us as Christians to be. Now, I think a lot of our issues when it comes to work is it stems from the idea of our misunderstanding of work. See, as Christians, for some reason, a lot of us, we have this idea that work is like bad. Right, something that, you know, we have to do because, I mean, it's a fallen world we live in. And there's rot, and things wear out, and things naturally break, and naturally get chaotic, so we got to go, and, you know, that's why, like, now, every week, we got to go out and mow our lawn. You know, wouldn't it be nice if we could just kind of mow our lawn once and just look perfect forever? Wouldn't that be kind of nice? All right, kind of, right? Yeah, so it's that type of thing. There's a struggle to it, but when we look at how God created us, and when we look at why God created us, what we realize, and we look all the way at the very beginning, is that work was a part of our life since the beginning, right? Right after God creates man, he says, the Lord took the man and he placed him in the Garden of Eden to work. Right at the very beginning, what God does when he forms Adam is that God gave him a purpose. He gave him, check this out, work to do. And this is before sin. Like, right now, Adam's perfect. All right, it's before sin. It's not punishment in any way. This is not God coming and saying, wow, Adam, you've really disappointed me in some way, and so I'm going to give you a punishment. Your punishment is you're going to work for the rest of your life. It's not what's happening. This is God coming to Adam and saying, Adam, guess what? I got some work for you to do. Adam's like, okay, yeah, all right, I'm in. See, it is built in us. It's deep down inside. Some of us, we haven't tapped this for a long time. All right, but it's in us that we were built to work. We were built to create and born to build and improve and take care of and push back against nature. That was our first job, and we were literally created to work. Now, logically, think about this. If we were created to work, then work is good for us, All right, let's try saying this together. All right, can you work with me here? On the count of three, I want you to say out loud, work is good. All right, I know some of you, it's going to be tough. All right, but one, two, three, work is good. Yeah, work is good for us. That's what the Bible teaches us, and work is to be a part of our life. But for most of us, it's like instead of work being a part of our life, we spend our life trying to avoid work. Some of us, we try to avoid work at all costs, right? And this is nothing new. In fact, this was exactly what was happening in a church in a city 2,000 years ago called Thessalonica. And there's a church kind of like ours. It was a new church. And what ends up happening in that church and in the context is that someone shows up to church and they start saying things like, hey, Jesus is coming back soon, which, by the way, is true. All right. Jesus said that. That was Jesus' own words. But what ends up happening in that specific church is a bunch of people, when they hear this, you know what they do? It's kind of funny. They quit their jobs. They're like, psh, if Jesus is coming back, why am I working? You know what I mean? Like, if Jesus is coming back, like, why am I working? He's coming back soon. I'm just going to live it up. I'm going to party. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to accomplish some of my bucket list goals, and I am not going in to work. And in the background, in the meantime, it's like, well, you know, we're supposed to be sharing our stuff anyway. So you know, we're like the wealthy people, all right, they'll take care of us and we'll be all right until they run out of money, then we don't know. But Jesus is coming back, so it's not gonna matter anyway. Like, that was kind of their thinking. And so what Paul does is he writes them a quick, short letter. It's a letter that we now refer to as 2 Thessalonians. And he addresses this. And what Paul does at the beginning is he says, hey, guys, here's the deal. All right, you are growing. Man, I've heard good things. By the way, Paul was the one who started this church. And so he knew these people. He loved these people. He cared about these people. And Paul says, you guys are growing. I've heard great things. I'm proud of you. You are suffering because you're a Christian. They were being persecuted by the government and persecuted by their neighbors and the people around them. Horrible things was happening to these people simply because they were Jesus followers. And Paul's saying, you are doing great. Keep up the good work. But then he has to address this major issue in their life, and he addresses the idea of work. He says this. He says, now we command you, brothers and sisters. By the way, this word for command, right, in the original language, this is the strongest word that Paul could possibly use. In fact, this is the strongest word that he uses when he uses the word that we would translate as command. It's the strongest word that he uses in all of his letters, right here in this little letter to this church in Thessalonica, right? Paul, he doesn't usually use this, but he uses this here, meaning this is not a suggestion for these people, right? He's saying this is what you have to do. He says, now we command you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from what? Sin, all right? Sounds Bible, right? Keep away from the bad people out there. Keep away from the world. Shut the world out. All right, don't let them in. You think, no. He says, keep away from every brother or sister, or let me translate that to you, all right, every church member or every fellow Christian who is idle. Now, when we think of the word idle, at least when I think of the word idle, I automatically think lazy, right? Lazy people who don't want to do anything. They kind of sit on their couch, eating their chips, watching TV. Like, that's what they do, right? And God, to be honest, has a lot to say about lazy people. But this is what I want us all to understand. You might be the hardest working man or woman out there, and you know it, and you're like, you know, that's not me. All right, just want to say this. Laziness is a temptation for every single one of us. It's just true, right? It's the fallen nature of who we are. It's constantly pushing in on us. Right? And so we see this. The Bible has a lot to say about laziness. In Proverbs chapter 20, right, in the Old Testament, Solomon writes, he says, the slacker, this word could be translated, maybe in your translation, it says the sloth, right, or the sluggard. Okay, I don't want to be called a sluggard, right? The sluggard, picture a little slimy, slow slug, right? That's what he's talking about. He's like, if that's you, he says, the sluggard or the slacker or the lazy person does not plow during planting season. And at harvest time, he looks and there's nothing. See, this is the type of person. He's saying the lazy person is the type of person that when it's time to work, doesn't go to work. Right? But when it's time to get paid, wants to get paid. Right? You know anybody like that? That's what Solomon's talking about. Another time, King Solomon, he writes about something he experienced. He says, hey, yeah, one day I went by a field of a slacker or a sluggard or a lazy person and by the vineyard of one lacking sense. So I go by this field, they got this vineyard, and what do I see? He says, I see thistles had come up everywhere and weeds covered the ground and the stone wall was ruined. He looks out. Can you picture this in your mind? King Solomon is saying, I look out at this, I'm just walking down the road and I look out at this field of this lazy person. And there's weeds everywhere, and there's thorns everywhere. It hasn't been taken care of. The crops are going bad. I mean, it's just not good, all right? The stone wall's falling down, and it's just unkept, and it's not good. And he says, it hasn't been taken care of. And he says, when I saw it, I stopped there, and I took it to heart. Meaning, here's King Solomon. I mean, this guy's the king. This guy's the wisest man to have ever have lived, and he's going, I was taught something. In that moment, I realized something. I looked and I received instruction. He says, what I realized is this. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms to rest, and your poverty will come like a robber. I mean, he's trying to get us to understand how this all works. See, laziness sneaks up on you. All right, it's not just like, bam, all right, you're lazy all of a sudden. You're hardworking, now you're lazy. It's not how it works. He's saying it sneaks up on you. He's like, it's just a little bit of sleep, just a little bit of slumber, just a little bit of rest. Besides, you deserve it anyway. And it has the ability to become a habit in our life, as the ability to alter our lifestyle. And with that, many times, he's just pointing out, many times it leads to poverty. Now, that should make you question. How do you know you're not that guy in your own life? I'm not saying you all got fields and stuff like that. I'm just saying, in general, in your life, how do you know you're not that guy? Right? Like ask yourself this. Are you the person who's late to everything? Do you struggle with laziness? Maybe you're late to everything, right? You got a million projects going on and you never finish any. Right? For you, is life all about fun and comfort and like rewarding yourself? Are you working age and you have the ability to work but not working? I'm just saying every single one of those are red flags for you. Man, you might be struggling with this. Solomon says in another section, he says, the slacker says, oh, there's a lion out in the road. There's a lion out in the public square, meaning he's coming up with all these excuses as to why he shouldn't go to work, right? He's out there and he's just like, no, you know, I can't go out there, right? I can't do it. I got to do this. I got that. It's dangerous. I might get sick, whatever it might be. And then he says, and as a door turns on his hinges, a slacker and a lazy person turns in his bed. Right? By the way, remember that tomorrow morning when you press that snooze button, you roll over? I know a lot of you guys do that. Just saying, remember that verse. Right? You might be talking about you. Just throwing it out there. Right? He says, the slacker buries his hand in the bowl. Right? Meaning he's got this like big bowl. He's got some bunch of nachos in there. And he's lifting it up to eat. But after a while, it's like even that, he grows too weary to even bring it to his mouth. See, I think laziness, I think a lot of us, we think laziness is just a lack of motivation in life. Oh, they're just not motivated. It's actually more than that. It's more of a refusal and rejection of God's purpose of our life. That's what laziness ends up being. And so back to Paul, that's what Paul's trying to get this church to understand. He's saying, don't associate with people who are lazy or don't associate with people who are idle. In fact, right, this word for idle right here, this is actually a lot stronger word than just simply lazy. It's this word in the Greek called ataktos, and it actually means deviating from the correct order. Meaning God wants you to go this way, and you're like, nah, God, I'm going to go this way. All right, they're being idle. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. He's saying that's the issue here. All right, remember here, the people, they're quitting their jobs. They're not doing anything. All right, they're idle. It's like trying to drive through Tiffin, you know, in the middle of the day. Super annoying. All right, you can't drive through Tiffin. You can't go down Market Street without hitting all the lights. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? Like, there's no, Like some cities have it all programmed. Not Tiffin. We don't do that. Okay. It's just like, no, stop, 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 stop. Even this morning, as I was driving here, I was going up to a light. It was perfectly green until I got to it. And then it turns red and nobody goes because there's no other traffic. And then I have to wait. It's that type of thing. When we're stopped at a light and there's nothing going on, we're just idle. We're not moving. We're not going anywhere in life. We're just kind of stuck. And here Paul's like, man, that's not good for you. It's not what God's called you to be. It's not what God wants for you. Notice Paul, his point is, he says, people like that, he's like, man, don't even hang out with them. Don't even spend time with them. Again, this is people within the church specifically. This is not talking about people outside the church. There's lazy people out there. That's not what he's talking about. We should be spending time with them, all right, trying to help them give their life to Jesus, okay? But here, if they call themselves a brother or sister, he's like, man, stay away from them. Because they're not living the way that God has instructed them to live. Right? He says, for you yourselves, you know how you should imitate us, right? He says, when we started your church, when we were visiting with you, he's like, we were not idle among you. It's that word again. All right? We weren't like that. He says, we did not eat anyone's food free of charge. Instead, you know what we did? He's making a point. He's saying, we labored and we toiled. All right? We worked long and we worked hard, and it was not easy for us. He said, we worked night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We didn't want to cause any problems. All right? We were willing to work for our food. And then he's like, and it's not that we don't have the right to support. Right? He's like, we had the right to be paid. We had the right to focus in on ministry and as almost like a job. By the way, amen to that. Okay, that right? He says, but we did it, right? We chose to work. We chose to work this other job, right, to make ourselves as an example to you so that you would imitate us, so that you would understand what it's like to work hard, and so that you would understand what it's like to work, so that this would not be an issue. But now it has become an issue. See, he's saying not only are we designed and created to work, but we were designed and created to work hard. And let's be brutally honest. Some of you, right, you have a job which is good, right, but you're not a good worker, and that's an issue. See, I think every single one of us in this room, first of all, we could think of somebody who's not a good worker, okay? People in our past, people that we've worked with, right, people, you know, fellow employees and stuff like that, right? We never automatically think, oh, this could be me, but I'm just saying it could be you. Right? How do you know? Well, let me ask you this. Do you hate your job? I'm just saying, right? If you hate your job, there's probably a pretty good chance that you're not a good worker at the job that you hate. Right? Does your supervisor have to ask you to do the same things over and over and over again? Because if they do, I'm just saying, there's a pretty good indication that you are not a hard worker. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. All right? Are you frequently late for work? Do you miss work a lot? All right? Do you float from job to job to job, meaning you don't have a job for very long? All right? Is that you? There's a pretty good chance that this applies, all right, to you, that maybe you're not a good worker when it comes to that. It's funny because some people in the past, all right, years ago, as I'm managing different people throughout different times of my life. Have you ever noticed that some people just like, they just move slow. You know what I mean? Right? Where it's just like, you know, you're supposed to be doing stuff at least, and they're just like, hell yeah, I'm going. And I'm like, well, technically you are going, all right? But it's just like, dude, like sometimes with some people, and a lot of times it's been like young men that I've tried to help, and I'm like, dude, listen, at least fake it. You know what I mean? Like, at least look busy. At least act like you're busy, even if you're not. You know, it's just some of us, we're just not used to working hard. See, as Christians, not only should we work, but we should be the best workers. We should be the hardest working people at our job. Meaning, all right, if you work at the plant, the manufacturing plant, whatever it might be, you should be the hardest working person at your plant. right? If you work in the office, you should be the hardest working person in the office. If you work on the job site, you should be the hardest working person on the job site. If you are a teacher at school, you should be the hardest working. We got a bunch of teachers here at Grace, right? You guys should be the hardest working teachers in your district. And it should be, you should be so good at working hard, always going the extra mile, always doing the extra, that everybody around you should know you as being so hard working. People should notice. Like, sometimes it just makes me wonder. I'm like, dude, if you're like, I'm just saying, if you're a teacher or whatever it might be, okay, why not be the best? Right? Whatever you do, what's holding you back from being the best? I mean, think about it. You're already there. You already have the job. You already are investing the time. You usually already have the talent because you're working that job. You already have the knowledge. Like, you already know how this job works. Like when it comes to being the best, usually, almost 99% of the time, let's say, it comes down to how hard we work. That's what it comes down to. That's it. And we are to be hard workers. We should be the best, hardest working people on the planet. We should be known for it. I mean, companies should, here in Seneca County, right, should be looking to hire Christians and people here at Grace, because somehow they've known it through a few years of hiring people. They're like, I don't know, man, but the people at Grace, I mean, those are the hardest working people there are, and so I will hire anybody that comes from there. All right, that's how it should happen. We should be known for this. But instead, what most of us end up doing is we settle for average. Man, you are not meant to be average. God has not created you to work average. I mean, and even some of us in here, you might consider yourself a hard worker, and you probably are in general. But what I've learned in my life is that we can always step it up a notch. I remember when I was in college, I worked for a department of my university called Technical Productions. All right, sounds pretty technical, doesn't it? All right. Anyway, and so what we did is we did audio, visual, and lighting when it comes to, we set up, concerts and stuff like that. All right, we set up different things. Whenever there was a speaker talking or anything like that, like, we're the ones who set up the speakers and the stage and just all that kind of stuff. And so that's what we did. And I remember as I took on that job that, I was just like, I want to be the hardest working person here. And I feel like I was, at least at the beginning, where, you know, all these other people, like, when the work was like 90% done, they would all go sit down and they would start talking or laughing and joking around and stuff. And I'm like, well, you know, I'll do that after I get the work done and everything like that. And so I really tried to, like, step up my game. I'm like, I want to stand out because I want to be a hard worker. And then about 2 months into that job, guess what? They hire this new guy, Caleb, I think was his name. Man, I hated Caleb. This dude, I don't know if he came from a farm or what, I don't know, you know. This dude was like, man, he was like nonstop doing stuff. Even when there was nothing else to do, like, he found things to do. All right, it's kind of, you know, I'm just like, who is this guy? And this guy out-hustled me, and it drove me crazy because I'm like, I'm tired. I didn't get much sleep last night. Like, we're done with our work, and we've set everything up. But this guy, he goes, and he's like organizing the wires, you know, or whatever it might be. And I'm just like, that's so annoying that he would do that. And what it did for me, and part of this is my competitiveness, and part of this is not good because it's my pride, okay? I understand that, all right? That shouldn't be what propels us to do what's best. But for me, man, it really, I was like, I'm better, I'm a harder worker than all these people, that girl, her, she, you know, all these people, those are all girls and guys, okay? I'm harder worker than all these guys sitting over here, right? But this guy has me beat, and it pushed me to step it up. It pushed me to be the first one to say, I'll do it, all right, with my supervisor, my boss, all right? I'll take care of it. All right, I'm gonna do that. All right, I'm gonna go the extra mile here. All right, it pushed me to take initiative. See, God not only tells us to work, but He calls us to work hard. He calls us to be the hardest workers. And Paul, he's saying, is our example. All right, what's he saying? He's saying, I worked night and day. He says, in fact, when we were with you, this is what we commanded you. There's that command word again. All right, super strong. All right, if anyone isn't willing to work, then he shouldn't eat, right? That'll step on some toes in today's society, right? This is not popular in our culture. what our culture tells us and constantly slams into our head is our culture says, hey, man, I shouldn't have, you know, you shouldn't have to work for a mean boss. I shouldn't. Oh, he's mean. Oh, you got your feelings hurt. Oh, that's okay. You know, you don't have to work for him. You can go get, you know, unemployment checks and stuff like that. All right. Our world, our culture tells us, you know, you should not have to do the job that you hate. Right? If your job is hard, you shouldn't have to do that. If it's boring, you shouldn't have to do that. Right? You shouldn't feel disrespected in whatever way we feel disrespected. Our world tells us that you, I mean, and then on top of that is you always deserve more pay. Right? They aren't doing enough. The big bad company or whatever that you work for, right, they're not treating you the way you should be treated. It's all this stuff. It's all about me, 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 my. Instead, what ends up happening because of that is that some of us, we get in the habit of relying on the government. And can I just say this? All right, I'm not trying to upset anybody. But when I say government, what I actually mean is what reality is. It's relying on other people to pay for our laziness and our idleness many times. Not every time, not saying every time, but many times. Now, this is what I'm not saying, okay? All right, I'm not saying cashing your unemployment checks is wrong. I'm not saying cashing in your Social Security checks that you've paid into so off or, you know, throughout your entire life. I'm not saying that's wrong by any means. I totally 100% feel for the single mother who gets laid off and needs help between jobs. Right? I feel for her. We've had that many times that we've helped, we've come alongside and we've helped with. But here's what I'm telling you is that as Christians, we are created and designed and commanded to work, not cheat the system. All right, we are commanded to work, not try to get by with the, you know, living off of somebody else's dime. That is not what we are created. It's not what we're called to do. And see, here's Paul. He's saying that's the problem going on here in this church, right? He's saying, for we hear that there are some among you who are idle. Again, here's that idle word again. You're deviating from God's plan. He says what you end up becoming is they are not busy, but they are busy bodies. Now, it's kind of interesting. You won't appreciate this like I do, right? But in the Greek language, this is a play on words, but it's also a play on words in the English, so we get it, right? He's saying you're busy, but you're not busy, but you come like busy bodies. This is a play on words here, right? Meaning that these people, they make their lives busy, right? You know people like that? Like they don't got a job, they don't got much going on in their life, but they become busy doing nothing, okay? And by the way, that becomes useless for people. There's two problems with that Paul's pointing out. Number one, you're idle, meaning you're not moving forward, you're not doing God's plan for you, for your life. But number two, you're meddling. What we end up happening is we start meddling in the affairs of others, and we get our hands in everything, and we become concerned with the lives of others, but not our own. I remember, I'll never forget, there's one guy in our church. He doesn't go here anymore, so I could say this. I would still say it, even if he was sitting here. But there's this one guy in our church one time who he kept coming in for help. All right, he didn't have a job. He was, you know, here's this bill. I got this bill. I got all these things going on. And we usually help people, with, you know, a little bit. Like, okay, well, we'll help you get to this next month and stuff like that. But you got to figure this thing out, man. All right, you got to figure this out. And so we had that awkward conversation where it's like, hey, I don't think it's good for us to help you anymore, right? Because we already have. Because what we're actually doing is we're enabling you to live the life that God has called you not to live. All right? That's not, as a church, what we're about. And so what we're telling them is we said, hey, here's the deal. You need to go get a job. All right? He was working age, and he had the ability to work. And I'll never forget his answer. His reply to that was, well, I'm just too busy. You know, I can't find a job that perfectly fits around my schedule that I've created in my mind. And I remember going through that, and you know, we were asking him, we're like, well, what's that mean? What do you mean you're too busy? What are you busy doing? And he's like, well, you know, on Tuesdays, and he rode his bike everywhere because he didn't have a car. And he's like, well, Tuesdays, I ride my bike over to this shop, and I talk to my buddy there. He owns that, so we usually talk on Tuesday afternoons, so that's pretty fun. And then I got to go over here on Wednesdays, and then on Thursdays, that's grocery day, so I ride my bike to Kroger, and so I got to get my groceries there. And then I come back, and then I usually set everything where they need to go in their cabinets and everything like that. You know, he ends up filling up his day, and he ends up filling up his week with a bunch of nothing. You know, it's all the everything else is what he does. And it's so, you know, it's still, even to this day, it's so sad because he is missing his part of his purpose in his life. This is not the life that God has designed for us. And instead of busy doing nothing, Paul says, he says, what we command, third time he's used this command word, and exhort such people by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what you are to do. You are to work quietly, not complaining, all right, not talking about everything, how they're mistreating you and your employer and stuff like that. He says, work quietly and provide for themselves, meaning provide for our family. See, it's this idea that Christians should not live off the church family, right? Although we are here to help, right? Christians are not to live off of their personal family. Christians are not to live off the government, right? When it comes to that stuff, as if we're working age. So Paul's like, man, don't be that guy who has the ability to work yet refuses to work. See, again, when tragedy and emergency strikes, like we as a church family, we come around those people, we care for those people, we try to help them through as much as we can, right? But that's so much easier to come around someone who you know is a hard worker and works their butt off, right? Those are the people that we want to help, that it's enjoyable for us to help. See, this is how Paul finishes. He says, but as for you, and you, and you, brothers and sisters, he says, do not grow weary in doing good, meaning doing the good work. See, if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, all right, take note of that person, by the way. And again, he's reiterating, don't associate with him so that he may be ashamed, right? So that they are embarrassed of themselves, so that they will come back. It's not that we hate on people. It's that we purposely show some tough love sometimes, is what Paul's trying to say. And you try to disassociate yourself from them until they get their life right so that they will get their life right. He says, yet don't consider him as an enemy. He's not your enemy. But warn him over and over and over again because he's your brother. See, it's this idea that working is the foundation of our understanding, right? Or the idea of working is the foundation of our understanding of work. And we were created to work, and not only created to work, but we were created to work hard. It's not just God saying, man, it's a good idea to work. You should probably go out there and try sometime. No, it's God saying, do it. Provide for yourself. Provide for your family. See, to sum it up, Paul's saying it's not good to not work. And life shouldn't be about trying to do whatever we can and trying to get out of work. And, you know, what work does is gives us a sense of fulfillment and purpose for our life. And if you think about it, our job and just work in general in our life right here, like it's just, it's too big of a piece of our life to waste. Too big of a piece in our life to dread. And so even though we may not feel it on some days, what we got to remember is that work is good. It's good for you. It's good for us. It's good for our situation. We're called to work. Let's pray together. God, we thank you. Some of this stuff, Lord, is just hard for us to hear. It's just true. This is not how our world thinks. And so our world's constantly pushing back against you. But here it's like we need to get corrected specifically for the next few weeks on this idea of just work for our life. And God, we thank you for giving us a purpose and giving us a something to do that makes us feel fulfilled in our life. You gave that to us. Work was your idea, not ours. And God, we need your help. Lord, help us to work hard at our jobs and work hard. If we're at school, work hard at school, or work hard on our team, and work hard at practice and all the things that we do. God, help us to work hard. God, we love you and we thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.